this subject here called walking with God, walking with the Lord. Amen. How many of you know this is the smartest decision that you'll ever make in this life? To walk with God. I've been walking with the Lord since 1976. Amen. That's the year that I got saved. And it was really 2 years after that when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost that it took on praise God for salvation. But I'll tell you, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit as just a 20-year-old and spoke in a heavenly tongue. And I'll tell you, I've never been the same. Amen. And my goodness. But in Genesis chapter 5, verse 23 and 24, it says that all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked, notice this phrase, Enoch walked with God, for he was not, for God took him. Now we know that word, when it says God took him, is not referring to him dying. As some people say, God took so and so, but actually the only verse in the Bible that says God took someone was this reference right here talking about Enoch. And the scripture says that Enoch was translated in Hebrews. It says he was translated and he was caught up. He got so close to God that God said, I just got to have him here. And he got a private rapture. Amen. See, there was a couple of different raptures in the Bible. Enoch was raptured. Elijah was raptured. Amen. Jesus was raptured. And you and I are going to be raptured. Amen. God's going to pull us out and take us where he is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, we saw that Enoch began to walk with God after he begat Methuselah, which was his son. And now, Methuselah just happened to be the oldest man that ever lived on the earth. He lived 969 years. Say, that's a long time. A lot of birthday candles. Amen. But what's interesting, what's the significance? As soon as Enoch begat Methuselah, he made a choice. I'm going to start walking with God. Because the word Methuselah, you have to understand, back in Bible times, and you know, if you go back upstream where it all started, the names had significance. They weren't just like Bob, John, Joe, Mary, you know what I'm saying? Names had a meaning attached to it, like Abram was changed to Abraham, which meant father of many nations. Sarai to Sarah, which meant mother of many nations. Amen. And so God changed Saul to Paul. Hallelujah. And so names had significance. And the word Methuselah, when God gave that to Enoch to call his name Methuselah, the name Methuselah means when he dies, judgment shall come. When he dies, it shall fall. And it just so happened that the very year that Methuselah died, 969 years, okay, you talk about God's long suffering and mercy before judgment comes. All right. And that year that he died, the same year Noah's flood came. Yes. Noah's flood came. But Enoch began to walk with God, and you can read about it in Jude. There's only one chapter. You can read about it in Hebrews, you know. And he had a word of wisdom about the future of the things that were to come, and it altered and it changed his choice and his decision to walk with God. Now, every one of you here, how many of you believers? Raise your hand. How many believers? Okay. Do you know it's possible to be born again, but not really walk with God? You know anybody like that? It's possible to know Jesus, to have a relationship, but no fellowship. Amen? And you know, I wrote down here that the Lord spoke to me a few weeks ago before the new year, and he says, you can have a relationship without fellowship, but you cannot have fellowship without a relationship. God's ultimate desire is closeness and companionship with him. Amen? So Enoch walked with God. Now go to Genesis 6 and we'll see this. Genesis 6 and verse 9. Genesis 6 and verse 9, it says, these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man, a perfect in his generation. And notice it says this, that Noah walked with God. Let's say that. Noah walked with God. Now, Enoch walked with God. Noah walked with God. And they did great things for God. And now we're not going to take the time to do so, but you can read all through the Old Testament and you can see person after person that made a choice to walk with God. And when they walked with God, it affected not only them, but it affected generations of people. You know, it's amazing to me how that our obedience or disobedience affects more than just us. Amen? Romans talks about how it says, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Here you got two men. You got Adam and Jesus. Both of them made a choice. Adam made a wrong choice. But did that affect just him? It affected the entire human race because we came out of Adam. But Jesus made a choice for obedience, and his choice of obedience impacted and infected the entire human race. Glory to God. And so it's when we make choices to live for God, it will impact us. Absolutely. It'll help us. But let me tell you something, friend. It'll affect the people around us as well. Your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, people that live around you. Amen. I'll never forget many years ago. In fact, it was the year that Lynn and I got married, the summer that we got married, 1982. And I had already been to Bible school for 1 year. And we came back for the summer, you know, and got married, you know, during those 3 months that we were off school. And so our school was a 2-year school at that time. And so in 1982, I got a job working for the community that I lived in, okay? And basically, we would cut grass and do things for the community. You know, it was just a 3-month job, summer job, basically, working for them. And a friend of mine actually got me the job, so I was there and worked. And one of the things I noticed was this, that I was, as far as I knew, I was the only believer that worked with these, probably 25 or 30 guys, okay? And they got wind of the fact that I was home and I was going to Bible school, so you can just imagine how they would talk about me and treat me and so forth, you know? And I mean to tell you, the most vulgar language and stuff coming out, you know, and making fun of me. But the Lord said, just shut your mouth and just live right before them. That's all I knew in my heart. Just shut your mouth, smile, suck it up, and live right before them. Amen. Don't get bitter. Just live right before them. I mean, every single day, just about every single day, they're making fun of me and so forth. And matter of fact, one time we went to this one area where it was like a shelter in the community that I lived in. And it was a big area that it took about 5 people or 6 people to cut the grass there. No, it was actually 10. And so I remember the boss, the big boss, dropping us off in this big yellow truck, you know, the community truck. We unloaded all of our mowers, started up our mowers, and we began to cut. And then I noticed the truck left, okay? The big boss left. And all of a sudden, I noticed, I was down over the hill cutting the grass. I noticed my mower is the only one that's running. I thought, that's kind of weird. I'm maybe a week or two on the job. And I happened to look up under the picnic shelter, and every one of them had their mowers shut off, and they're laying down on the ground, laying on the picnic tables, catching some Z's. And so immediately I felt this pressure to turn my mower off, because I was the only mower cutting, okay? Peer pressure doesn't happen just to teenagers, okay? It can happen to adults too, you know? But I had this choice to make inside of me. You know, I said, the Lord was just reminding me. He says, who are you working for, me or this guy? I said, well, Lord, I'm working for you. He says, then keep your mower on. Amen. I didn't hear it with these ears, but just inside me, I just had this conviction. They're paying you to do a job. They're not paying you to sleep. They're paying you to work. Amen. That's a revelation to some people. Amen. And so, you know, and then they started razzing me about that. I said, I don't care. I'm just going to keep doing this. But the one guy, the main guy that was in charge of the group of guys that was there, he had been there the longest. He had the most seniority, you know. He was the nastiest person towards me and so forth. And so, but here's it has a good ending, okay? And so sometimes we'd be cutting grass. Other times we'd be digging ditches with jackhammers, you know, and just all kind of different stuff, you know. And it was just pretty tough work, actually. And I remember it was at the end of the summer, and it was my last day before I was to go back to Tulsa with Lynn. We were going to get married, go back to Tulsa and so forth. And I remember we had this job. I don't want this jackhammer. I'd never used one of those things before. We're digging up asphalt on this road, you know, and it was the last day. It was about 100 degrees, it felt like. And I remember that guy, that foreman that was on our, that controlled all of us, basically, he pulled me aside. He goes, come here, I want to talk to you. And I thought I was in trouble. because he didn't look real happy. He pulled me aside. He goes, come down here. So we walked down away from all the other guys, okay, probably about 50 yards down from everybody else. And he looked at me, and he looked at me, right in the eyes, he says this. He goes, this guy had been a harasser to me and everything. He says, I want you to know I've been watching you. And I'm thinking, what do you mean? He goes, I've been watching you. He goes, you know, you're the real deal. He goes, I got these friends of mine. He goes, don't say anything. He goes, these people been asking me to come to this Bible study, these friends of mine. He goes, but after watching you, he goes, in his words, he said, you're the real deal. I like what I see here. Okay? And he shook my hand. He says, congratulations, you've been really good here and so forth. And I was absolutely shocked over that because I didn't think that anybody even noticed anything. I didn't go out and get a megahorn and say, repent, be converted. I just showed up at work, tried to keep a good attitude, you know, just be a happy person, just be content, do my work. I mean, I had no earthly idea that this guy's looking at me under a microscope. I didn't know that. And I'll tell you, it really humbled me to think that someone was looking at me like that. And I'm just glad that I had at least a good example to set before him. You know what I mean? Praise God. Amen. I mean, they use four-letter words like it's part of the English language. You know, every other word. You know what I'm saying? Well, I wasn't talking like that. Just a little clue that you may not want to talk like that if you're trying to win people to the Lord. Just a thought. There are believers that they think that's part of the English language. Dropping the F-bomb and stuff like that. No, that's not. We're not supposed to talk like that. We're not supposed to talk like that. Now, if you do, repent. God will forgive you. Ask Him to forgive you. Amen. There's other choice words you can use that will be a blessing. Amen. And so... But I was, at that time, I was a very young Christian at that time. I mean, I was only 21, 22 years old at that time, 22 actually. But I made a choice when I was 16 years old. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to walk with God. And I tell you what, listen to me, folks. There were times that I had so-called friends that I thought were friends that I had to let them go. I had to let them go. And I didn't want to. But yet there was other friends in the world that I had before that. They were drawn to me. And so I was able to win some of them to the Lord, actually. I mean, it was awesome. But there were some that weren't happy with that. I remember one guy in particular. He was not happy with it. I shared with him, you know. But I didn't get offended. I was just like, okay, you know, you had the opportunity. Here it is. Praise the Lord. But I had to make a choice that I'm not going to be moved by peer pressure, trying to please everybody. I just wanted to please the Lord. I wanted to walk with Him. Mm-hmm. Listen, I'd rather have no friends than have the wrong friends. Mm-hmm. Amen? Mm-hmm. I would rather be single than marry the wrong person. Mm-hmm. Some pastor, do you have anybody in mind? Absolutely not. But I'm saying, your choice with who you're going to spend time with and who you're going to partner with will affect your life for the good or for the bad. How many of you know that? Praise God. Now, you can't control what other people do, but you can control what you do. Praise the Lord. So I made a choice that I'm going to, now it was subconscious. I didn't just say out loud, I'm going to serve you, Lord. I'm going to walk with you. But within me, I just had a conviction in my heart. God, you did so much for me. You saved me. And I tell you what, when I was 16 years old and I received the Lord, I felt this massive weight lift off of me. I didn't understand the terminologies of sin and, you know, all this kind of stuff. I didn't know that. But all I knew was I was blind, but now I see. You know, there was this something. How many know what I'm talking about? There was something in me that was like, God, you seem so real. And I remember even having this job right out of high school. And I worked for a mining company that was in Washington County, and on 519, actually. You know, it's not there anymore. But I worked for a mining company, and I drove a truck for them, and I would deliver mining parts to mines in West Virginia, southern West Virginia, you know, like the movie Deliverance. you know, those kind of neighborhoods, and Ohio, Pennsylvania, and I would drive around, and it was, the cool thing about it was, is I had this Ford F-150 red truck, that was my truck, had an AM radio, didn't have FM, had an AM radio, you know, and it was during that time, because I would spend all my day driving miles, hundreds of miles sometimes on a day, to deliver parts, you know, and go to Timbuktu somewhere, you know, and deliver mining parts. But here's the thing that I didn't know was going to happen. I got so close to God during that time that I had time to listen to some good radio preachers at that time. R.W. Shambach was one of them, you know. Brother Kenneth Hagin, I never heard of before, you know. And these are 15-minute, back in those days, there were 15-minute broadcasts that were on the radio. But it was feeding my spirit. And during this time, it was just me and God in this truck. And I remember, it's hard to put it into words, to be honest with you, but I look back at it, I got so close to God during that time that it launched me into what I'm even into now, praise the Lord, that I developed a habit of communicating to the Lord and talking with Him and making decisions. I would say, God, what would you want me to do here? What do you have me to do? And I would literally wait before God and talk to Him. And I remember sometimes just tears rolling down my eyes while I'm driving my truck. I thought, I've never had this happen to me before. Do y'all understand where I'm coming from here? Mm-hmm. And it was during those foundation years that I began to get close with God. Now, I had some other friends that got saved right around the time that I got saved, but they made choices to not continue to walk with God. And it's sad. Some of them are not even alive today. Some of them made a choice because of pressure, because of peer pressure and loneliness. You know, they thought they didn't have any other way to go. But there was something on the inside of me that said, God, you are real. I know that you're real. You touched my heart. How could I leave you? How could I walk away from you? I want to walk with you. See, the thought of me backsliding has never been a thought. Someone says, well, Brother Keith, what if you backslide? I don't even have a thought of backslide. Why would I want to backslide? I mean, seriously, after what Jesus Christ has done for me, why would I turn my back on Him? Why would I walk away? Why would I go back into the world just to be accepted and embraced by the world? Hey, I'm accepted by God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. That's what the Scripture says. In Ephesians, we're accepted in the Beloved. And I'm telling you what, that's what people are looking for in the world today is acceptance. Aren't they? Everybody. Yeah, it's true. Hallelujah. But to be accepted by God is the ultimate acceptance. And when you know that you're accepted by Him, faults and all. See, God knew what He was getting when He got us. He knew that in the flesh, we're not perfect in the flesh. Amen? Yeah. None of us here are perfect in the flesh, but in the Spirit we are. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says we're not to know one another after the flesh. We're to know one another after the Spirit and see the potential that each and every person has. Hallelujah. I'm accepted by God Almighty. I mean, think about Jesus. I mean, here He's being baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. And there comes this booming voice, God's voice out of heaven. And He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Acceptance. Amen. Say, well, that's Jesus. Yeah, but the Holy Spirit's telling you that in your heart. You're accepted in Him. And so that, you know, when you know, if you're around people, for example, that don't really accept you, you get a little uncomfortable, a little uneasy. You think, if I do something wrong, it's going to change that relationship, okay? But here's the thing. If you're with someone that loves you unconditionally, you can let your hair down.
Yeah.
You can kick your feet up. You can relax because our family, you know, we got a bond. By the way, today is Joshua's 27th birthday. Hallelujah. It's 27 on the 22nd. Amen. Hallelujah. And what a day that was. Glory to God. I'm telling you. But see, when you know that when you're with someone in the natural, and that's why you and I we're representatives of God's love. When people come in, and that's why I pray when strangers and new people come into our church, and I thank God they do, that when they come into this place, they experience unconditional love. I don't care what they've been through. I don't care what kind of past they have. Amen. If people come and they have tons of problems, doesn't matter. If their heart is towards God, there's hope. They can get help. Amen. And you and I, we're representatives of God. And the only Jesus that some people will experience is the Jesus that lives in you and me. Now, some of us will cry out to God on our own, but for most of us, we've got to experience it through other people. And we do experience God through other people, even in this room right now. So how important it is for us to get our self-esteem first and foremost from God. First and foremost from God. I was working another job a few years later, actually. And it happened to be right down here in Campbell's Run Road. It used to be a cheese factory that was there, and I worked there. You might have heard this little story before. And a friend of mine, he was a believer friend of mine, he got me this job. It was just a temporary job for a season, for a summer, actually. And this is a couple of years after I had been walking with the Lord, and I tell you, I was just excited. We were looking for opportunities to share Jesus with people, to open up to people, to share with them. And so we decided to have a Bible study during our lunch break, okay? And so we did, and I mean, a lot of people came. A lot of people showed up. So we just do like a 15, 20-minute Bible study, Ended up leading some of the people there to the Lord that were hungry. Well, the boss got wind of that. There was two brothers, twin brothers. And one boss called me in. And I got fired, okay? No warning whatsoever. And it was because we had a Bible study. Now listen, we on the job, we were not preaching. We weren't reading our Bibles. We were doing our work. But on our lunch hour, that was our time, okay? And I'm thinking, holy cow, this is the first time I got really persecuted like this, He let me go because of it, all right? And so I was pretty sad about it. I was feeling pretty hurt about it, actually. And I left that day, and I got on the parkway, or that turnaround where you get on the parkway or where it loops around Campbell's Run there. And I mean, I was sad inside my heart about this. And the Lord told me this. He says, Keith, he goes, don't worry about it. He goes, I'll give you a better job. Because I knew in my heart, I wasn't sloughing off of my job. I was doing my thing. But on our lunch, that's our free time to do what we want. You know what I'm saying? We weren't changing the company or doing anything like that. But people were getting saved. Now, these guys were completely against Christ, against the gospel and so forth. And eventually the company shut down. I wonder why. And within that week, God gave me supernaturally, and my mom at that time, she's like, Keith, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? She used to worry about everything. I said, no, Mom, don't worry. It's going to work out. Man, she'd worry about everything, You got to have your agenda. You get up in the morning. What are you going to do? What's this? Just relax. We're going to trust the Lord here, And I got actually a phone call from somebody, and I ended up getting a better job. I'm telling you, it was awesome. And right before I went off to Bible school, and I'll tell you what, it was awesome. It was better pay, better atmosphere, better environment, and the Lord took care of me. Amen. But to be honest with you, if I was going to be moved by what other people think, I'm not in people's faces being obnoxious to them and stuff like that. But if you just love people, people know it. Amen. Remember Jesus said is it John 13? He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples. By what? Your faith? No. By the love that you have one towards another. The distinguishing mark of every believer that he said the world would notice is that you love the love that you have one towards another. Hallelujah. And the Bible says in Romans 5:5, he says, the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Our identification has to come from God. Amen? What you hear a lot about nowadays is identity, people's identity being stolen, right? Fraud and stuff like that. Well, the devil's been trying to do that since the Garden of Eden, to make you think like, you know, you're someone that you're not. Amen? But I'll tell you how God sees you. How do you know? I didn't plan on saying any of this, but that's okay. Make no apologies for it. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the Word of God is a clear picture of what we really look like. What God says about you is the most important thing that there is. See, it's not so much what others are saying. It's what God's Word says. It's what God's Word said. Jesus told His disciples, He says, "Who are men saying that I, the Son of Man, am?" Remember that He asked in Mark 16? He said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, reincarnated, Elijah, or one of the other prophets." Well, that didn't satisfy Jesus. He said, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter spoke up and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Well, that's the right answer. And He said, "Flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but My Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. You see, our identification has to come from the Word of God. If we want real security, look into the mirror of God's Word. The Bible is called a spiritual mirror. It says that in James and other in Corinthians. It's a mirror, and a mirror shows reflection. Except the Bible mirror doesn't show you what you look like physically. You can't hold it up and look, "Oh, there's a hair out of place," or something, right? Or you girls can't look it up and say, "I need more makeup," or something like that. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't tell you what you look like physically, but the Word of God is a spiritual mirror, and it will tell you what you look like spiritually. Who you are in Christ, what you have, what belongs to you. Some of you sitting in this room right now had words spoken to you years ago that were not of God, unproductive, unregenerate words, demonic words that were spoken over you by someone close to you. They were a tool of the devil. They didn't even know it. But they spoke words out over you that have affected you to this present hour. But let me tell you, the lie is a lie. And it's over. It's abolished. It's over. Amen? I mean, even most of the news media nowadays, they perpetrate lies to get people to believe lies. Even more recently, people believe that the lie is the truth, and it's not. Okay? There's no one that will tell you more truthful answers of who you are but the Word of God and God Himself. He will tell you exactly who you are. And our security has to come from God. It doesn't come from another man, doesn't come from another woman. It can, but we're not looking for that. Our main source of security has to come from the Bible, from God, from His holy word. Glory to God. And if God says He loves me unconditionally, guess what? I believe that. Now, my feelings may tell me otherwise, but I'm going to go by what God's word says. I'm accepted in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. I am accepted in the beloved. That means I'm totally accepted by God. Amen. Now, if you know that you're accepted by God, you don't have to get nervous around Him. Just like some person, right? If you know that you're accepted, you don't get nervous. You can just be yourself. Even if you do mess up, they're not going to knock you over the head. Now, have you ever been... See, there's a difference between... The jacket's got to go here this morning, amen. I mean, hey, for January, this ain't bad, right? For this kind of weather, I'll take it, amen. Thank you, Jesus. There's a difference between idealistic and realistic. What do you mean by that? Idealistic means if someone's idealistic about you, that means you have to conform to the way they are in order for you to be accepted. Have you ever been there before? But to be realistic means you have faults, they have faults, it's okay. All right? And we need to be more realistic towards one another. Amen? And not idealistic, because there are times, listen, we all go through stuff. All of us go through different tests, trials, sometimes sometimes for weeks, you know. And that's where the love of God can accommodate us to help overlook things. Amen? And not take it so personally. Someone doesn't seem real bubbly or friendly to you, that doesn't mean that they're looking down at you. They just may be going through something. Amen? Praise the Lord. My computer shut off here. Okay, let's go back here. What time is it here? 11:30. Okay. So we can see that Enoch walked with God, Noah walked with God, these other men and women walked with God. How many of you want to walk with God? I want to walk with God. It's the most exciting life that there is. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, I'm telling you, you never have to be lonely again. Hallelujah. Your days of loneliness are a thing of the past because you have a God that moves. Why is it so hard for us to think in terms of the God that we serve living on the inside of us? You know, I don't know about you, but I've seen some women that were expecting children 8 months along, 7 months along. Amen? And you look out and you look up and say, they're going to have a child. Amen? And you realize, you look at that person, it dawns on you and said, there's another person inside them. There's another person on the inside of that woman. Amen? That's going to have a baby. Right? Why is it so hard for us to think there's another person inside of us? See, that baby's entire existence depends on that mom. Wherever that mother goes, the baby goes. Whatever that mother eats, the baby eats broken down. Okay? And the Bible says we are in Christ. And whatever he gets, we get. Whatever he has, we have. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. What does it mean to walk with God? How can we walk with God? Number one. This is just review real quick here. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. How do we do this? How do we walk with God? Oh, praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. The scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. See what it says there? We walk by faith and what? Not by sight. Number one, how do you walk with God? You do it by faith. You do it by faith. You can't see God, but you believe that he is. Now go to Hebrews 11 verse 6 real quick here. Hebrews 11 verse 6 once again. And the Bible says this, without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. Amen. I made mention of this. I said, you cannot be a diligent seeker of God without first believing that he is. You've got to believe that he first exists, that he is, in order to walk with God. Now, I wrote down here in brackets, I said, without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God, and I wrote here, while on earth. That's where we're at. We must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, you know as well as I do that you don't have to see someone to communicate. You ever talk on the phone with somebody before? And they might be in another state. But you're communicating with them. You don't see them. You could have a divider in this room and divide half the people here and you could still communicate. But you can't see them. Hallelujah. You may not see God with these physical eyes. You may not hear God with these physical ears, but you can commune with him because God is a spirit. Amen. And you're a spirit. Hallelujah. And God communicates with our spirits, and he does it primarily through thoughts, impressions, you know. When we say things like, well, God spoke to me, when I say something like that, generally speaking, now I've never heard God with my audible ears yet. Okay? Now, it felt like it at times, but it wasn't with these ears. It was strong inside my spirit. Okay? The more authoritative voice of the Holy Spirit. But most believers, the main primary way that we're going to be led by the Spirit, the Bible says in Is it Romans 8:16? It says, "For as many for the Spirit bears witness with our spirits that we are the children of God." You know, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So the Lord is going to lead and guide all of His children by your Spirit, which is connected to the Holy Spirit. Praise God. That's good news, isn't it? So the first way that we understand to walk with God, we have to do it by faith. We approach it by faith. Here's case in point. When I go before the Lord, I say, "Father, I come today in the name of Jesus." That's how the Bible says, come before Him in Jesus' name. "And I believe that You are, Father. I thank You that You hear my prayers today." And from there, that launches me off into the rest of my prayer. I believe that God hears me when I pray. Amen. See, prayer doesn't ever have to be a struggle again. You see, thank you, Holy Spirit. Faith takes the struggle out of anything that you do. When you pray and you're doing it by faith, it lifts the struggle up because you know you've already got a connection. Now, you've ever heard of Wi-Fi before? Okay, there's Wi-Fi in this room. We connect our computers and stuff to it, you know. It's an unseen connection. But just because you can't be seen doesn't mean it doesn't exist. We still tap into the benefits of Wi-Fi. You can't see it. You can't see God. You might not hear God physically or audibly. Now, there will come a time we will. Every eye shall see Him from the natural standpoint. But in the meantime, we've got the Holy Ghost on the inside of us who's connected to God, and He's communicating. See the Holy Spirit going all over the place here today. That means you're hungry. There's something pulling me in every direction. Amen. But see, the Holy Ghost, the Scripture says that He will not speak of Himself. When He comes, He'll not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears from heaven, He will speak it to us. And so when you hear the Holy Ghost talk to you, it's the same as God talking to you, because Spirit of God doesn't come up with His own thing. He doesn't have His own agenda. But whatever He hears the Father say, He's going to speak it to you. That's why you hear directly from the Father. Amen. Ooh, it's good to hear from God. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. And sometimes you will sense things from the Lord. The Lord sometimes will laugh with you, smile with you. I've heard in my spirit the Lord laughing at times when I was crying. From the natural, it's like, "Oh, God," you know. And I heard, "Ha, ha, ha, ha." All right. Inside my spirit. Because the Lord knows things that your head doesn't know. Amen. See, while the rest of the world is crying, you can be laughing. Because you know the outcome. One thing I do know is this. I've been around this long enough to know this. I've been walking with the Lord since 1976. And I've learned a few things in those years. The Lord doesn't always respond to things like we do from the natural. Because our God's a faith God. And think about this. The Scripture in Job chapter 5, I think it is, it says, "At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh." Now we want to cry. At destruction and famine, laugh? Well, that has to be the laugh of faith. Because why else would you laugh? Because someone told a joke? No, because you know the outcome. Ha, ha, ha. Amen. I remember one time laughing at a big growth that was on my left hand. I've told you about that, you know. I didn't feel like laughing. Big old growth on my left hand, as big as a golf ball. The Lord said, "Just laugh." And I'm thinking, at what? He said, "Laugh at the circumstances. Laugh at the problem. Instead of crying about it." You know what I mean? Belly aching about it. So I was just dumb enough to do it. Didn't do it at first. I looked at it, I said, "Ha, ha, ha." And I wasn't around anybody. It was just me and God. No one else has to hear that. They won't understand that anyway. Praise God. That's some of the greatest times I ever remember. In times like that, the Lord said, "Start laughing at that thing. You're taking it too serious. Smile, kick back, relax, enjoy yourself. Enjoy the ride." Amen. God is victorious.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you can laugh at the strangest times when everything looks like it's falling apart. You can look at it and say, ha ha, by faith, I'm laughing at this thing. Boy, I tell you, we need joy, don't we? Man, the body of Christ, we need to be baptized in the joy of the Lord like never before. Some of us haven't smiled in so long, we feel like our face will crack if we smile. Just a thought, right? Well, make a long story short, that thing vanished in midair. Just pop, it left. It left. Didn't happen immediately. I mean, it happened. When it happened, it left instantly like that. But, you know, I took a stand for about a month. Ha, ha, ha. And the devil would put the thought in my mind, it's not gone, it's still there. Look, it's getting bigger. And that's the thing. If you go to keep checking the natural, you know, the devil will keep you in the natural. I just said, forget it. I'm not going to look at it anymore. I'm just going to look to you. Lord, I thank you. I praise you. I bless you. I thank you. And I'm doing this one. No, I'm in my car. No one else sees me except me and God. I'm sharing this to help you. Not just to say, whoa, look at Pastor Keith. I'm sharing this because some of us, we need to get on this train. We need to jump on this thing. And we need to start reacting the way God wants us to react. To see victory. I mean, it's an unusual thing that Israel would march around the walls of Jericho. And by the way, the walls were so wide, it was almost as wide as this room. Because you could put five or six chariots across from one another and go around the walls of Jericho. That's how fortified this city was. Okay? I mean, this is a major building project here. All right? It was so fortified, no enemies could get in. And the Lord told Israel, remember he told Joshua? He goes, march around that city one time for 6 days. On the seventh day, go around it seventh. He told them, don't say a word, but on the seventh day, they're to march around the city seven times and then shout and blow the trumpets. Remember that? Well, you know the rest of the story. Now, archaeological evidence has found that those walls didn't topple like, you know, because that would kill even the Israelites. It went straight down into the earth. God just put his hand on those walls and just went, and the walls, like an elevator, just went down into the ground. Because why else, how would Rahab the harlot make it if the walls collapsed? Right? The defenses were down. But see, that's the most unusual way to face a problem. To send God sending out the praisers in the front line and say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and so forth, you know. And they took them 3 days to get all the spoil. There were so many people. Well, see, God may tell you to do some things sometimes that may seem unusual to your mind, to your thinking, from the natural. Just doesn't make sense. No, it makes faith. It doesn't make sense. Praise God. Did you get that? Yes. Some things don't make sense. They just make faith. But listen, you will get the most tremendous. I've seen the most tremendous results in my life when I just did what God said to do. And it seemed foolish from the natural, like laughing at this thing. But that's what the Holy Ghost told me to do. He said, you're taking it too serious, Keith. You need to laugh at that thing. Because I've already taken care of that in the death, burial, and resurrection. And he said, you need to start laughing through faith. Praise God. Laugh in faith. And then that thing disappeared. Praise God. There have been people that have been healed of terminal diseases that decided to get rid of the care, the worry of it, you know, and the fear of it, the fear of dying. You know what I'm saying? What's the worst thing that can happen to a believer? You check out of here and you're in glory with Jesus. I mean, what better place can you possibly be? Right? But if you get the fear of that out of your mind, the fear of dying, because with a Christian, there is no such thing as death anyway. To be absent from the body, the Bible says, is to be present with the Lord. The very second your spirit leaves your body, boom, you're with Jesus. You're in the kingdom of God. You're with all the apostles and all the patriarchs. You're right there. You're with great, 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 great grandmother. Hallelujah. And everybody else that received the Lord, you're with them. So when you get that out of your mind, you realize, wait a minute here, the worst thing that can possibly happen to me is I leave this body and I'm instantly in the presence of God. There's no fear with that. Amen. Paul said, for me to live is Christ, to die is to gain. to gain. He didn't say lose. Well, we lost so and so. He didn't lose them. He didn't lose anybody. Amen? They're found. They're not lost. We should never, ever get sad over people that knew Jesus that went to heaven, regardless of what happened in their lives. If they're with Jesus, that's the best place they can be. Now, if I took if Linda and I took, and our family took a month vacation to Hawaii, that would be great. Go to Hawaii for a month. I'm just hypothetical here. Would any one of you look and say, I feel so bad for them?
No.
You'd be like, man, they're really living it up over there. Rightfully so. And that, how much better is heaven, right? Praise God. Where am I here? Without faith. So the first way that we walk with God is we have to do it by faith. We stir up our faith when we go before. We're talking about walking with the Lord. We do it first of all and foremost by faith. I come to you, Lord, by faith. Amen. Now, religion doesn't teach this. Religion has a bunch of rules and do's and don'ts. It's all mechanical. You know what I'm saying? That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a living, vibrant relationship with God. Okay? And we saw last week, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, and wrapping this up here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9, it says, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We've referred to people, say, so-and-so has a call in their life. And that's good, that's noble. But the first and foremost call that you and I have is a call from God to fellowship with Christ. The word fellowship here in the Greek is the word koinonia, and I'll give that definition to you. It means communion, joint partnership, sharing, and intimacy. And I love the word intimacy because fellowship denotes intimacy. It's kind of like you can have a couple that's married. They're legally married. They have a relationship. Okay? In the eyes of the law, they're legally married. Amen. And but they can have broken fellowship. They could get in an argument, right? They're not talking. You know what I'm talking about. Their relationship is intact. They have a relationship, but they don't have fellowship. I'm just using that as an example. As a believer, you can have a relationship with Christ, with God, truly a child of God, born again, but lack the fellowship. Now, I submit this to you that God's ultimate desire was not just a relationship, but even one step further, and that is fellowship, koinonia, yeah. Intimacy. The Lord wants you and me to be able to communicate with him and talk with him. There's nothing, to my knowledge, there's nothing that I don't communicate with the Lord about. I'll talk to him about anything and everything. I really do. Because I know this, he's a lot smarter than I am. He's got all the answers. He really does. And if I'm hurting or if I'm sad or I feel upset about something, I take that to God. And I say, Lord, I need your help right now. If I need encouragement, now sometimes it comes from people, sometimes it doesn't. Amen? And you know, that's the same with all of us, right? Sometimes you can go months without any encouragement from people. How much more do we need to be a voice of encouragement to one another? Amen. You know, if somebody does something, you know, let them know that. Said, you know what you did really, that blessed me. Amen. If my wife or my kids do something for me that blesses me, I remind them of that. I tell them that. And vice versa. Praise God. But I tell you, God will encourage you. And fellowship is that place of intimacy. How many of you desire that? That place of intimacy where God can tell you to do something and you're like, I don't question that voice. I'm going to do what he tells me to do. Oh, praise God. You know how there's different fuel grades? There's low grade, middle grade, and high test. Some believers only have low grade fellowship. But God wants you to have high test fellowship. Amen. It costs a little bit more, but your engine runs better. You know what I'm talking about? And when you have that more of a connection with God, connection with Him, man, I'm telling you what, people won't have to twist your arm to come to church and serve God. That's the first place you want to show up. Amen. Because when you're tight with God, you want to do what pleases Him. Are you with me? When you're tight with God, you will want to do what pleases Him. Amen. In every realm. Prayer is a dialogue, not a monologue. Praise God. Got to wrap this up here. Number two, how can we walk with God? Number one, you do it by faith. Number two is you involve God in every decision you make. Involve God in every choice and every decision that you make. A purchase, an investment of any kind, not just financially, but of any kind. I remember many years ago, probably 30 years ago, someone came to my first church that we had, and they talked to me about getting involved in this investment. Don't look at me like you're the only one. I'm the only one that's ever done this, because... And I'm telling you what, this thing was going around the body of Christ. This is about 30 years ago, actually. And I allowed myself to listen to this guy, because he had good intentions, I felt, you know, but he was listening to the wrong people, and he had all this proof of this investment that was going to help Christians and the body of Christ and so on and so forth, you know. And I can say one thing, I have grown and I'm smarter since that time. Amen. Because I lost some money in that thing, you know. I thought it was a good thing. But here's the thing. The whole time that I'm involved myself in that, the Spirit of God inside me was trying to warn me, don't get involved with that. And I listened to my head instead of my spirit. Amen. And I lost some money. Amen? Amen? And if you're married, that's a good time to bounce it off your spouse too, right? And I wasn't doing that. So if I would have listened to her and I would have listened to the Holy Ghost, I wouldn't have made that choice. So I had to suck it up and I had to say, oh, man, you know, Jesus, help me. Amen? Because it came down the Christian pike and so forth. You know, it looked like a great thing and everybody's going to get rich and make a lot of money. It's going to build your church and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, but it never came to pass. It never came to pass. And, you know, I can't blame God for that, because He was trying to communicate it to me. He was trying to show me. But I just didn't want to hear it. I blocked Him out. And I'm sure we've all done that in different ways. I blocked out, and I didn't want to hear it. I put big muffs on my ears. I said, oh, Lord, I think this is right. I think this is the way to go. But inside my spirit was telling me, and I wasn't like audible or anything, but inside my spirit, the Lord said, don't do it. Don't get involved in this. I didn't listen to it. I paid the price for it. Okay? Everybody say, wow. Say it backwards. Wow. Wow. Amen. But here's the thing. The key is you learn from your mistakes. Nobody can throw stones, because we've all made mistakes. We all have. Okay? No condemnation. But here's the thing, we should learn from our past mistakes and not try to repeat those mistakes, okay? We should be getting smarter as we listen to the Holy Spirit, listen to Him. Now, the second thing here, and I got to wrap this up here, but the second thing to walking with Christ is this: involve the Lord in every decision that you make. You're going to purchase a new vehicle, you're going to do this or do a new house or relocate or a new job, you know? And just because, listen to me very carefully, just because someone says you're going to make twice your salary doesn't mean that that's the job you're supposed to take. Amen. But we could go over the place here. You have to listen to the Holy Ghost. You got to listen to the Holy Spirit. Proverbs 3:5 here, we'll close here this morning. But Proverbs 3:5 says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not lean upon your own understanding. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Praise God. This is the key right here. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. See, God doesn't want us to be headstrong. He wants us to be heart sensitive. Any bad decision or any bad choice that I have ever made, and there's been a few of those through the years, it came because I listened to this instead of here. Okay? And sometimes you just got to suck it up and deal with it. It's like, man, you know? It'll knock some things out that need to be knocked out. Amen? But here's the thing. If we're going to walk with God, if Jesus Christ is, we call him our Lord, then we have to lay every decision at his feet and say, Lord, is this what you have for me? Okay? Does that make sense? Now listen to the New Living. It says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all that you do, and he will show you which path to take. Isn't that good? All right, I'll address that, Lord. I just heard someone's heart say, well, what if I'd made the wrong choice already? What if I made the wrong choice? Listen, if your heart is towards God, he can even make the crooked places straight. Okay? It's not inevitable. It's not like you've fallen off a cliff and there's no help here. I'm telling you, God is a master at rescuing people. I tell you, hey, listen, when Peter was starting to sink, Jesus didn't look at him and say, learn your lesson, buddy. Sink. And drowned. He reached down and pulled him up. Amen. Peter began to walk on the water, but when he missed it and he got his eyes off Jesus, he began to sink. But Jesus didn't look down and say, learn your lesson, Peter. Learn a new breath stroke or the back stroke or whatever. He reached down and pulled him up. And folks, I'm telling you, even when we've missed it and we've made mistakes, God is a God of mercy and he will rescue you. He will help you. He will uphold you. I'm so glad that when I've made mistakes, God didn't just leave me there to drown, so to speak. He rescued me, pulled me up. Praise God. And then lastly here, how do we walk with God? So that second thing we talked about is involve God in every decision. Bring decisions before him. Okay? Now, I'm not saying that to infer that you're not bringing your decisions before God. I don't want you to get that impression. But it's just a reminder that whenever you have a choice in life, any kind of a choice, bring it before the Lord. Not every good opportunity is a God opportunity. Not every good deal is a God deal. Okay? Now, it may be. It may not be. But when you involve God in your choices, in your decisions, you'll make a whole lot better decisions. Amen? I mean, I'm sure that we could go through and choices that may you think that you made bad choices, wrong choices. Something was trying to tell you inside you during that time, you know, to lead you otherwise, right? But then you go ahead and make that choice anyway. But you can look back and the Lord was trying to show you. The Lord was trying to warn you. He was trying to protect you. Because he doesn't want us to make bad choices. Are you with me now? The third thing in conclusion here today is this. What does it mean to walk with God? Number three, practice the presence of God daily. Practice the presence of God. Amen. Say, practice the presence. Now, this one's absolutely vital. Practicing the presence of God. Amen. When you pray and it's just you and God, the only one that sees you is God. Okay? When you praise in private, see, that's where things are really developed, is in private. Okay? I mean, I drive my car and I praise God. I keep my eyes open. But I drive, I say, thank you, Jesus. I just want to thank you today, Lord. I can drive this car and talk to you and praise you. Thank you, Lord, for this day. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I realized that I'm not just the only one in that vehicle. Physically, there might be just people see me in there, but there's someone else in there sitting next to me, and that's the Lord. And so we can begin to develop a consciousness of God is with us everywhere we go. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So when I worship here, I'm not trying to be people conscious. I'm trying to be God conscious. Thank you, Lord. I lift my hands to you. I'm not just looking at the ceiling and the lights. Right? I'm here, a heart connection before God. I'm here to worship you, Father, to praise you and to thank you. Amen? And that's that living, vital connection that you have. Praise God. Amen. Did you learn some things this morning? Practicing the presence of God. That will be a great way to start out this day and this week, is to develop that even more. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you, Father. Amen. I'm telling you, you can wake up in the morning, jump in the shower, getting ready for work or whatever, and you can begin to practice the presence of God right there. You're barely awake, walking around the house. Father, I thank you for your presence here today. And what you thank him for, he will manifest himself to you. You thank him. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're here. Now it says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. Acknowledge him. Amen? Now, for example, if I say, I would like to acknowledge Sister Eleanor here this morning. Doesn't she look beautiful this morning? What a classy lady, I'm telling you. Amen? Now, what did I do? I just acknowledged Eleanor. So your attention went to her when I said that. And when you acknowledge something, your attention will go to that. When you acknowledge God, and all your ways acknowledge God and or him, he will direct your path. When I acknowledge God, that means I'm aware of his presence. I'm aware of his presence. So, Father, I acknowledge you today in this job situation. I acknowledge you in this meeting I'm supposed to have today, and this family member that I'm supposed to get with. I acknowledge you.